From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Joy of the Spirit. The text is Romans 14, verse 17, in which the Apostle Paul declares one of the components of the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost. As Dr. Cairns has already shown, this joy is not produced by mere orthodoxy. It is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in the heart, beginning at regeneration. Then the joy of the Spirit consists of the witness of the Spirit to Christ and all that believers have in Him. Also, as we'll see today, the sphere of our joy is walking in the Spirit, or living according to God's commands. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes time to answer a very vital question. Does God practice deliberate deception? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Does God practice deliberate deception? Quoting Ezekiel, if the prophet's deceived, I have deceived him. Or Paul's words to the Thessalonians, I will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. You'll notice in all those occasions that the deceiver is not God. The deception is the lie of the devil. It is something that men have willingly chosen, and God gives them up to it. Now, when the Hebrew scriptures say, I have deceived them, it is a way simply of saying, and of course this is true of everything in the world, I have allowed this, or I have caused it to be. Caused it to be in the sense that these people are being given over to what they want. God did not tell them a lie, but He certainly allowed the liar to come and talk to them, and He allowed them to believe the lie. And it's not a lie imposed on them. Deception, you see, is always something imposed on a person, taking them more or less that they don't know they're being deceived. No. God is not imposing anything on these people. He's giving them up to what they already have chosen and already what they desire. Same in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The strong delusion. Remember the time period in which this is speaking of. It is speaking of a time when the man of sin, the Antichrist, the supreme deceiver, Satan's great tool in the earth, is being embraced by the world, where they have deliberately rejected light and have called darkness light. They have deliberately rejected truth. They've taken the lie. They've embraced it as the truth. They've deliberately rejected Christ, but they've embraced the Antichrist. And what God is saying is, if that's what they have chosen, I will give them up to that. You see, for God to deceive, quotes, doesn't take any positive deception at all. All it takes is a withdrawal of restraint or a withdrawal of light or information. For God to give them up to that deception and that delusion is simply for God to withdraw the energy of His Spirit and the power of His gospel. And once He does that, and He doesn't owe any of those things to any of us, once He does that, men are in bad shape. That's the force of those scriptures, and anybody who takes them in any other way to blame God for what men have chosen and what God has allowed them, as it were, having made their bed to lie in, is a misuse of Scripture entirely.
To the hills we lift our longing eyes,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. Christ and his gospel must be made real to the heart by the personal work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this I'm writing very hard because I don't want to get you into a lecture in historical theology this morning, but I tell you this, that it was because the Orthodox churches did not recognize this that there came to be born one of the most virulent attacks upon the gospel in this century. Neo-Orthodoxy with its paradox theology, its existential theology came along. Why? Karl Barth could say that he was going back to John Calvin. He was going back to the theology of the Reformation. He was doing this, he was doing that. And when it came to this matter of salvation, he started to say, look, God cannot be met at the end of a theological proposition. God can only be met in a personal encounter. So therefore they threw out the theological propositions and they had this existential encounter with God. So they said. And we can criticize Karl Barth, and I do criticize him, and I reject his theology in its very basis. But let me say this to you. There's a lot of truth in what the man said. Where he made his mistake was when he had got so far as saying God is not met at the end of a theological proposition, there must be a personal, real experience of God. Instead of throwing out the theological proposition, he ought to have recognized that God, the Holy Spirit, needs to vivify that truth and bring it to our hearts, or rather vivify our hearts to recognize the truth and to feel it. If theological orthodoxy is going to be dead, we can expect it to be thrown up and rejected by men. We need today to have a religion that is rooted in a real experience of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. The witness of the Spirit is to Christ. I'm not going to labor that point. I have spent a long time in the past in scriptures proving that. The witness of the Spirit is to the all-sufficient Christ. All the Holy Spirit's ministry really comes down to making Christ known in a saving way to the individual heart. That's the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, what he does in the believer's life, therefore, witnessing to Christ, is to bring us to what Isaiah calls in chapter 12 and verse 3, to the wells of salvation. The personal ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing Christ to us is to conduct us continually to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And what is the substance then of the joy that the Holy Spirit gives us? Well, it's what we drink when we get to the wells of salvation. That's the substance of our joy. You turn to Isaiah 12 and see then, what do we drink at the wells of salvation? What is the substance of the believer's joy? I'm only going to list these things. You can study them carefully. It's a great 12th chapter of the prophecy. We read in verse 1, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Thine anger is turned away. The first part of the substance of the joy of the Lord is Christ, our satisfaction. Christ, the remover of the wrath of God. Christ, the destroyer of the curse. God was angry with us, but now that we're at the wells of salvation, we can say, God is angry with us no more. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us to drink of that well. The first substance of our joy is Christ, our satisfaction. Let me tell you, until Jesus Christ is known to you as the satisfier of the wrath of God and the law of God on your behalf, you cannot begin to have joy. Then in verse 2, Christ is our salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I've often quoted the words of 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, where Christ is said to be made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There is the fourfold description of Christ our salvation. Wisdom deals with the mind of sin, the mentality of sin. There's light now in the darkened mind because Christ is our salvation. Righteousness to deal with the guilt of our sin. We have a right standing with God. No longer are we under His curse. Sanctification to deal with the pollution and the power of sin. Thank God there's victory for the believer. And holiness by faith in Jesus. And then there's redemption. That's the consummation of it all. That's deliverance in totality from ultimately the very presence of sin. As we're brought into the presence of God, Christ is our redemption. Yes, He's our satisfaction. He's our salvation. Verse 2, He is our strength. In other words, we're well founded and we're well grounded. We shall not be moved. And then in verse 2, He is our song. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. In other words, He alone is our boast. We sing of His person. We sing of His perfection. We sing of His passion. We sing of His purpose, His power, His pardon, His prospect that He holds before us. It's Christ that's the theme of the believer's song. He is our song. So, this is the Spirit's witness to us. And the witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. It's so simple. But I tell you this, we have all experienced it. When you can see Christ, you rejoice. When you can't see Christ, you're as miserable as you can be. When you can see Christ, you can say with joy like David, "By my God, I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over the wall." There's nothing too hard. There's nothing that's too much of a trial when you can see the Lord. My, if you can't see Christ, if you lose the sight of the sunlight, then what a difference it is. Instead of jumping over a wall, you trip over a straw. You can do nothing. The witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. The walk in the Spirit is the sphere of our joy. We notice in the words of our text, it is joy or rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. It is in the Holy Ghost. And perhaps this is the reason why we're so deficient in joy. You see, you can't as a Christian have the joy of the Lord while you're living in the world, in the flesh, or for the devil. In Galatians 5, we are told, walk in the Spirit. Now that's a very vital command. If you would experience the joy of the Lord, you must experience it as you walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's not some mystical notion that so many people have about walking in the Spirit, that they're walking with their head in the air and their eyes shut and they're sticking their spiritual nose up into the skies to try and discern what the Spirit's mind is. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's nonsense. I was reading a little of the great Augustine, Bishop of Hippo. Augustine, one of the great theologians of the Christian Church. He wrote a theological treatise on the two cities. I'm not going into his theological treatise at all this morning, but in part of it, he comes to ask, what is the flesh? And he shows the various scriptural meanings of the word flesh. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? Everybody knows it means to walk in the flesh if you're walking in adultery, if you're walking in theft, if you're walking in open sin. Everybody knows that's walking in the flesh. But then he came to the mentally exalted philosophers who reject Christ. He came to those who are practicing the beauties of the arts, but they reject Christ. And he says, they, even in this, are walking in the flesh, using even the gifts of common grace, yet they are walking in the flesh. Because, he says, at the heart of it all, to walk in the flesh simply means to walk according to self. It means to walk according to man. It means to walk according to your own human nature, your own human will. Divorced from the will of God, setting yourself up against God, making yourself the master of the will of God. It is to walk according to man. So what is it then to walk in the Spirit? It is to walk according to God. How do you know that you're walking according to God? That you're walking according to that book. You're walking according to God's Word. That's walking in the Spirit. Not merely with any external obedience, but with a heart obedience. When the heart is brought to the place of captivity to the Word of God, when the will of the man involved is brought to captivity to the will of God revealed in Scripture by His Spirit and sealed to our hearts by that self-same Spirit, then that man is walking according to the Spirit.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.